Hi, this is Jason Kidd of the Dallas Mavericks. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 7:50 a.m.
It's time for that Monday basketball talk here on Drive Time Sports, and it's a pretty exciting one now that free agency is officially off and rolling. But as per the norm, LeBron James finds a way to steal some of the spark, and I think the center of attention right now as we get rolling in this free agency period with him opting in to a $52 million deal with the Lakers over the weekend, and then some very strange wording from his agent, Rich Paul. We'll talk about the future of LeBron, and also now the free agency is off and rolling, some of the other big players that have hit the open market. To do that, we have our guy, James Hollis, our NBA analyst right now over the phone. James, always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Normally I have a lot of really deep reason things to say, but now I'm just eating my popcorn and watching because free agency is about to kick off. I think we're about to have a lot of fun.
I think that's going to be pretty crazy offseason. And I think I say that every year, but this year you just take a look at some of the movement, some of the dollars that are going to be spent. I think there's going to be some real movement. We can start by talking about LeBron James and the idea that his 8-year tenure with the Los Angeles Lakers may be coming to an end. I find it odd that he would opt into a $52 million deal if he wanted out of Los Angeles. It makes it very difficult for the Lakers to move on from him. But the old saying goes, where there is smoke, there is fire. And the wording from Rich Paul's statement makes it seem as if, LeBron is done in L.A. He's done with the Lakers. And I don't know that the Lakers necessarily care if he's on his way out as well. And I think that's what makes this so interesting. You may have a mutually agreeing deal where both sides move on.
And it really is wild because just a few months ago, right, Lakers finished third in the West, and you know, all the talk was how Luka and LeBron, two of the best closers, two of the best creators in the NBA, all you have to do is give them shooters, and you know, now we're going to extend LeBron's career. LeBron can take it easy while Luka takes the reins, and all that talk has pivoted so quickly. The statement from Rich Paul was definitely sounded like one of a very, very professional, very... I wouldn't say friendly, but it definitely did have a very detached sound to it. Not a sound of an agent of a guy who's like, you know, happy to be here and work forward to do stuff. It definitely sounded like it had the pitch of a goodbye. And the biggest thing is that I don't think the Lakers really came out and announced it. Every year when LeBron opts in or they give him his new 1+1, every year, you know, they do a big thing. It's the Lakers. LeBron James is here for another year, and we're aiming for a championship. It was pretty much silent from the Lakers front office. And, you know, we found out from Shams that he opted in. And this is, from what I heard, I know I'm just recycling stuff. LeBron, this is the first year in his career that he's operating on an expiring contract. So this is definitely uncharted territory for LeBron James and the Lakers.
Which leads me to believe that either A, this is it for him, this is his swan song, and maybe he's accepted his own mortality and looking at the fact that, hey, he's got his son on a Laker roster, loves his life in Los Angeles, and maybe he can pass the torch, or he's going to find a way to get out. And I think if he is looking for a way to get out, the Lakers were going to move on from LeBron. There are a couple of teams that I guess logically would make sense. There just has to be a lot of moving pieces, and I don't think it can be a one-team-to-one-team deal. I think you're going to have to pull multiple teams in. For a long time, we've heard about the idea of LeBron going to Golden State, right? I think that's possible. I think LeBron going to Cleveland is possible. I think, really, when you break this down, those may be the only two logical spots that can make this work. But I also can't believe there's a huge trade market out there for a 41-year-old on a $52 million expiring contract who brings a little bit of drama at this stage in his career. I can't believe the trade market would be robust.
And me and you kind of talked about this a little bit, but like that's the biggest thing. With these new second apron restrictions, teams are literally terrified of what the second apron does to their team, not just financially as far as the penalties, but just as far as like, you know, freezing draft picks. You can't collate smaller deals to make bigger deals. You can't use some exceptions. So it makes it really, really tough. So the fact that LeBron James just opted into all that money makes everything it's very onerous as far as trying to make any deals. And the teams just don't have this cap space right now. I know teams are going to open up. You know, they're going to renounce guys, and some, you know, expiring things are going to expire. But I'm looking at it right now, and there's literally no cap space, of any meaning up until next year. I think Brooklyn's going to have a ton of cap space next season. But as of right now, with that second apron looming, I'm not sure what team is going to be able to move the assets to not only be competitive with LeBron James, but to make that move where they're competitive with him. Otherwise, you kind of got to gut your roster money-wise to make it work. So Golden State, sure, sounds good. Cavs, sounds good. It would take so many other moving parts and machinations and guys getting waived and stretched that I don't know if it's feasible.
You know, the other thing that I think you have to pay attention to in a situation like this is just looking at what could have been before he decided to opt in to this $52 million deal, right? I know that there was some criticism that he would not take a pay cut. That would have allowed the Lakers a little bit more flexibility. He's not. He's opting into the $52 million deal. I get that. I don't hold that against him. However, if you were looking for a championship, it would have been extremely simple for him to either A, opt out, re-sign at a lower cost with the Lakers, or B, opt out and go to another team that doesn't have to gut their roster to build a championship team. That's what doesn't make sense to me in this realm.
Yeah, man, this is where personalities and ego and pride come into play when it comes to these kind of things, because on paper it sounds really easy. But LeBron James was just an all-NBA type guy, right? And I get it. We get it. He's doing things at his age no one's ever done, but he's still doing these things. So it's kind of like, you know, would you expect Jaylen Brown to take a pay cut when it's time for his new contract? No, because he's in his prime, he's doing his thing. So it's kind of not fair to tell LeBron, even though he already has generational wealth, hey, give us back a few million as owners, because we want to make this. Well, that's on owners. I fully back the players when it comes to get the money you can. So, yeah, in a perfect world, you would say, LeBron, if you want to win another championship, you got to, you know, you're going to be the good foot soldier and you're going to take less money and go join a team that you can help win, or you're going to help the Lakers win. And LeBron James is saying, no, I'm not doing that. This is the new CBA is working just as it's designed, but LeBron James is saying as one of the people it would affect, I'm not going to set the precedent by being the superstar to take a big cut and cut the owners a break. So there's a lot of layers to this, and it's really going to be me and you, right, I'm pretty sure we're in the same place. We're eating our popcorn. We're genuinely curious to see how this turns out, because this doesn't look like LeBron James is going to, you know, be back in the Lakers when the season starts next year.
Yeah, I agree with you. It goes back to the idea with the second apron and the way things are put in place with this current collective bargaining agreement. As a 40-year-old star, yeah, I just don't think you can simply have your cake and eat it too. Because the LeBron James days of leading the Heat, leading the Cavaliers, those days are gone. We know that. When you sign into a $52 million deal, he has every right to that, right? That's why there's a player option. But in the same sense, he's not going to be the cornerstone on a championship team in the NBA anymore. That is blatantly obvious, right? So do you want your $52 million or do you want to compete for a championship? I just don't think you can have both, specifically with the way the CBA is set up.
And you know what? It's funny. We just watched in the finals, right? Indiana Pacers, one of the most unlikely finals teams, because they're definitely a collaboration. Very, very good players, but no super-duper star. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an amazing scorer. MVP for a reason, but you know, again, he's not averaging, you know, like 28-8-8. He's the collaboration. He has another all-star beside him, a lot of really good pieces that fit. I think you can almost say that the Thunder were more than the sum of their parts. So when you see that kind of thing, like, it's really hard in the modern NBA to say, hey, we're giving two guys max money and a third guy max money or near max money, and we're going to be, because this isn't how it works. It's just too much money these days. So you're absolutely right. LeBron James, at his stage of career, the numbers look great. He's still very effective. I don't think he's a top six guy, top seven guy. And if he wants to go to a team that has another top four or five guy, I don't see the fit. But they got to have depth. We saw in the finals, there's a certain amount of depth and a certain level of depth that you need to be a viable contender.
Again, James Holas, our NBA analyst, joining us right now as we talk about free agency off and rolling. I would expect the market to be pretty moving fast. Let's put it that way. I would expect the market to move fast for DeAndre Ayton. The news came out last night. The Portland Trailblazers had worked out a buyout agreement for Ayton. I know he has been somewhat of a disappointment. We take a look at the last 7 years of his NBA career, but the fact does remain, for a team that has a mid-level exception, this is a guy now free on the market that is a perennial double-double guy. I mean, he's a 16-10 guy, James. I'd have to believe that this market would move fast for Ayton, and I think he's going to have plenty of suitors, regardless of all the negatives that surround him.
One of the most historical, curious players ever, because he was picked before who?
Oh, man, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, Luka Doncic.
Oh, Luka, correct. Yeah, well, it was the same
before
draft.
Before Luka Doncic, was the number one pick in that draft.
That's right. That's right. That was the same draft that Luka was. Luka got traded in that draft as well. We got to remember, for Trae Young.
Yeah, so he gave Joker everything he could handle in the playoffs that year. They went to the finals. right? He was averaging, like, I think he spent two seasons when they his first two playoff runs, he was averaging like 18, 11, and like, you know, a block or two. And he looked like that next really, like, future of the NBA type center, hitting mid-range jumpers, great defense, fast. And he's become kind of a punchline and a joke, and with good reason, right? And so now here he is. He's going to be on the free agent market. Again, not a lot of teams have cap space, but he's a talented guy. Now the question is it going to be like Kuzma? Kuzma went to Washington for a few years. I think he went to Milwaukee, and it looked really bad. It looked like the time in Milwaukee kind of beat some of the loser into him. To say it, that's like, you got to be blunt about it. So let's see if the same thing happened. Like, he's, you know, DeAndre Ayton has been a couple years now in Portland, maybe not picking up the greatest habits, and he hasn't been great, even on a bad team. The numbers haven't been amazing. So let's see if he can maybe get him a winning situation. We can turn his career around, or has the losing seeped into his person and his DNA?
Hate to make this all about the Lakers, but is he a good running mate with Luka?
I would say yes. I would say that. One of two things is either a very big yes or a very big no. I think talent-wise, athletically, and, you know, probably what he's been through, it's been a little bit of humbling. Almost like Kristaps Porzingis, you know, when he went to Washington, he had spent his time, and he got to Boston, and you could see a renewed fire in him. There's a possibility of that. The other thing is the Lakers spotlight is bright, man. The Lakers spotlight is unrelenting, and it's bright. So no matter who's LeBron or Luka or both, or but you get in Los Angeles and you have a bad week or two, and that intensity turns up and the voices start and he starts hearing and reading everything, that's a different level of pressure. That's different than Phoenix going to the finals, different than everything. So that's the one thing I would think of, is that it's either there's no middle ground here. He's not going to come there and be okay. He's either going to come there and really kind of thrive and maybe kind of amplify what he did with the Suns when things were good, or he's going to keep spiraling down, and the pressure of playing in Los Angeles under that spotlight and under the championship or bust is going to break him.
Yeah, I mean, look, a perfect example of that is look at the criticism that Anthony Davis was under, right? We're talking about a Hall of Famer. We're talking about a guy that helped bring a championship back to L.A. And when you look at the media scrutiny, people can say what they want now. The fact of the matter is that guy was crucified by the Los Angeles media. It's the same thing in New York, right? I mean, I think when you have the largest market, the second largest media market, that's what you're going to get. But I think you're spot on when you talk about the scrutiny that would come with what we have seen as lackadaisical effort from Ayton.
Yeah, the first time he has a couple boneheaded plays in a row, first time he's on the, you know, whatever the iteration of Shaq and the Fool is a couple times, wearing that Lakers jersey, everything is, it can turn. And I feel like he might already be either he's built up a callus in Portland, right? You were the number one pick, and they shipped you out for Yusuf Nurkic. Either you built up that callus and you have a fire burning in you now, or you're just kind of, hey, I got my money, which, you know, I think a lot of people think this. He has his money, he had the accolades, and he got a little bit maybe of the big head, and now we're seeing this guy who is kind of maybe entitled. So very interesting to see if the Lakers or any team, whatever next team he gets to, what kind of DeAndre Ayton do we get?
Let's talk about the Utah Jazz for a moment. They have had a busy 24, 48 hours. Ace Bailey finally reported. That was a big story over the weekend, finally getting to address the Utah media. Not long after that, the Jazz finalized a trade, sending Colin Sexton and a second-round pick in 2030 to the Hornets for Yusuf Nurkic, who you were just talking about a moment ago. And then just a couple of hours ago, they buy out Jordan Clarkson, who has been a fan favorite and kind of a mainstay off that Jazz second unit. So it has been a busy 48 hours for the Jazz. I will say that the Sexton for Nurkic deal does not make a ton of sense for me. I believe the Jazz are going to be active here over the next 3 days or so, and I would expect another trade relatively soon, and I think the next guy out the door will be Walker Kessler. I think that's the only reason why you make this deal, bringing in Nurkic. It doesn't fit with what they have right now roster-wise, so I'd expect more movement here in the next few days from the Jazz.
I'm hearing that real time as far as that idea about Kessler being out because that's why they brought in Nurkic, and sounds horrible because Kessler is just such a better player than Nurkic.
Yep.
But I guess you got to have a center, and we're going to move him for whatever assets, whatever you're doing, which is weird again because it's fascinating because Utah has been trying to walk this tightrope between, hey, we're competing, and they have. They've had some spirited games even as they were, you know, we knew they were angling for the lottery pick. So, but yeah, now they're making moves that don't make any sense because I believe Sexton is a great backup to have. Walker Kessler is a great center to start with. So if you're trying to win and you just brought in this mercurial Ace Bailey, who I think is going to be an incredible talent, but so many things hinge on, you know, Can you get him to come in and fall in lockstep with the rest of the franchise? Is this the whole strange thing he had with his with Omar Cooper, his agent? Can we put that behind them, and can they get like a normal relationship with this guy, because he's an amazing talent? And I'm not saying something original here, but it kind of makes me think how when Steph Curry was trying to get himself drafted to New York, and I believe Golden State just took him a pick early, and that's how that played out, right? So, Steph wanted to go to New York. He went to Golden State, and he entrenched himself as a megastar and the franchise heartbeat. Can Ace do something similar to that? Because right now, I think the pieces are starting to coalesce. Markkanen's great. Ace can be great. You got some decent role players. Everything's lined up where this could be the first step for a Utah Jazz team. Let's see how they handle getting everything to gel.
And early rumors are surfacing that Jordan Clarkson will draw significant interest from the New York Knicks. I do want to talk about the Houston Rockets as well. They pulled off the big deal, landing Kevin Durant. We talked about that last week. Since then, they signed Jabari Smith to a $122 million extension. Rumors are now saying that they will be the front runner to land Dorian Finney-Smith, who opted out of his deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. I think there's a number of players that will view Houston as a viable destination. It's a young team. They were close, right? Second best record in the Western Conference. I think they have a very likable coach. I think that they have proven that they are going to be aggressive. I like the Smith extension. I like the trade for Kevin Durant. And if they can find a way to land DFS, I like that as well. Could be a very, very huge couple of months for this Houston Rocket organization.
Absolutely. You got to give them props. They brought in Kevin Durant without losing any of their key assets as far as long-term assets. Jalen Green, great talent. We already saw he wasn't ready for the playoffs. Dylan Brooks, agitator, nice to have on your team, but not necessary when you got Kevin Durant. So, yeah, this again, another team that's on the precipice of something going from good and fun, which sounds crazy to say about the second seed in the West, to actually being a contender, because Kevin Durant can make these guys elite. My one issue is that Fred VanVleet, I don't think he's a starter. I think he's much better served as a reserve. Maybe playing alongside Kevin Durant, it kind of slots him back into his level of importance. I think just having the ball in his hand so much in key moments, as we saw last season, he can get a little bit of main character syndrome, and he's not really that upper echelon decision maker. So, but you know what? Nothing's perfect. You have Kevin Durant. You have Alpo Sengun. And you got a guy like Amen Thompson, who I think is going to be a superstar in this league, potentially. Like Michael Jordan said, the ceiling is the roof for the Houston Rockets.
You know, you talked about a team that was a two seed and they were fun. Now you're looking at them as being legit contenders. A cautionary tale, I think, for both the East and the Western Conference, the NBA in general, would be the Memphis Grizzlies. And I kind of put Houston in that same category going into this offseason. Just a couple of seasons ago, Memphis was one of the top three teams in the Western Conference going into the postseason, and they were a fun team. And they got ousted by an older Lakers squad. They didn't capitalize on the window that was there. Houston's gone the complete opposite direction. That window's open. Boom. Let's go through it. They've been active this offseason. This is something that Memphis should have done 2 years ago, James. Houston is taking advantage of it.
I agree. And this is one of those, like you call those sliding door moments. Memphis definitely had a chance to go all in and bring in another guy to put beside Ja Morant, maybe an older veteran, a leader who might have been able to give him some kind of guidance on and off the court, and they never did it. And we've been watching kind of a slow-motion train wreck in Memphis. And that's sad to say. I'm not saying it's reversible, right? Things could turn around this year. But since that we're fine in the West stuff, you know, Memphis has been unfined. They've been falling apart. So I'm not exactly sure what they're doing. Great draft pick for them, too. I like the kid they picked up. But, you know, they shipped up their other borderline all-star in Desmond Baines. What exactly are they doing in Memphis will be the question.
We've got to give you a chance to talk about your Celtics, because it may not be flashy right now. They haven't added anyone to the equation, but the fact of the matter is they cleared more than $200 million in combined payroll and luxury taxes for next season. I want to say that number again. They cleared more than $200 million with trades of Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. Now, you knew that this was going to be a different offseason for the Celtics, but the fact of the matter is they still have Jaylen Brown. They still have Derek White. Maybe they both could follow. I don't know. But the fact that they moved $200 million just by getting rid of Drew Holiday and Porzingis tells me that if things even stay pat in Boston right now, I think it's been a win for them already, James.
I agree. If you told me a year ago that Drew Holiday and my guy Kristaps Porzingis would be traded unceremoniously at the end of the season, I would have like gnashed my teeth and got angry. But again, this is a story of the next season coming up. injuries and how they've shifted the landscape in both East and the West, Eastern and Western Conference, and then the fear of the second apron. Not the fear, I guess, just the threat of the, whatever you want to call it, the threat second apron. Because teams are like, look, some owners are like, we'll pay the money. We're going to be contenders. We'll bite the bullet. We'll pay big cash. We'll pay the penalties. But once anything happens, injury-wise, like Jason Tatum goes down, there's no point in their owners saying, hey, I'm not paying championship prices for a team that's not a contender. And it makes sense. And so the GMs have to make these moves. So good on Boston for clearing the money. They pivoted nicely. I hear there were big offers for Jaylen Brown and for Derek White. And I hear that, you know, Boston is pretty much, hey, business is business. You're going to listen to offers, but both of those guys should be staying put. There's probably another move or two around the perimeter. I know they want to keep Luke Kornet. They want to retain Horford again, but that just financially might not be feasible. A guy like Sam Hauser might be on the chopping block. Just again, finances. He's been great for the Boston, great rotation guy, but his money would save them another big chunk of change, $10 million off the books to change. I think it's like $30-40 million worth of penalties to be gone to. So. There's probably a couple more small moves coming for Boston, but I think they've accomplished what they wanted to. They got under that second apron and gained some flexibility.
James, before I let you go, now the free agency is off and rolling, what is the most intriguing storyline for you, we'll say, over the next 3 days? Is there something that stands out, maybe a team, maybe a player, maybe a situation? What is the most interesting story now that free agency is here?
I think the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers, as we saw, they've made, again, same concept. They paid the money, but injury derailed their playoffs a little bit, and they came up very short, right? Not just because of injury, but also that's a big part of it. But then, like, maybe that core is not going to work, and they're paying big money for them. So what do the Cavaliers do now? Do they soldier forward the way they are built and just try to add around the edges? Or is there going to be some kind of big move where they realize this isn't cutting it, and we need to get tougher? We need to get a different mentality shift. That's one of them, and obviously LeBron James. Before me and you had this conversation today, coming in today, I didn't think we'd be talking about LeBron James possibly on the move, but it seems like every second it's a bigger and bigger possibility. So, as always, like you said, we have a lot going on in the NBA, but somehow LeBron James manages to steal the show.
And maybe it's him being a prima donna once again. Maybe it's him trying to pressure this organization. I still find it very difficult to believe that a player of his magnitude could opt into a $52 million deal and expect to go elsewhere and compete for a championship. That is what strikes me as the most odd out of anything. How could you opt into a $52 million deal and think you're going to go someplace else and have a better chance to win a championship when in order to make those salaries match up, a team's going to deplete their depth to acquire you?
This is LeBron James. And let's be honest. He's proven himself over and over again that while everyone else is kind of playing checkers, he's playing his own version of chess. LeBron has a great team around him. Nothing he does is by accident. Nothing he does is up by chance, right? We've seen that for years now. So I guess let's see what his next move is going to be.
Looking forward to it. James Holis, again, our guest right now. James, we definitely have to catch up a little bit later on in the week because I think between now and, we'll say, Thursday, a lot's going to change over the course of the landscape of the NBA. Before I let you go, where can we find more of you?
Scottie Pippen was my favorite player growing up, so on all platforms you can find me. Homage to the great Scottie Pippen, number 33, at Snotty Drippin. Anywhere you can look people up, where the sky is blue or formerly known as Twitter, at Snotty Drippin, where I talk basketball and make jokes and retweet memes.
James, it's always fun to get you on. I appreciate the time again today.
Thank you, brother. Looking forward to talking to you again this week.
Let's pause one more time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Sutherland Studios, and it's here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.